call the Ways and Means Committee to order and want to say welcome to everybody to our first hearing. We had hopes that, you know, we would get going fast, and we are, which is very exciting to have this committee do its first meeting to be able to take up legislation. And so next week we'll get more of a traditional start with MMB here to do a budget overview and get a chance to kind of dive into that. But when opportunity presents itself to work together on good legislation right out the gate, we're going to take that opportunity and start to hit the ground running today. And most of you are pretty seasoned in this committee and some new faces, so welcome. We're glad to have you. And this committee is really one that has a broad perspective on the budget. We see the finance bills that come through here, and so we really get a chance to see the whole of the budget and what it means for Minnesotans. So it's a really wonderful place to see how everything that happens in all of these other committees comes together and what it means for Minnesotans and what it means for our state. So exciting opportunity for the work ahead, and this is a great group of people to do that work together, and so looking forward to our time together, and wanted to just say a thank you to our lead, Representative Garofalo, who has been really phenomenal partner already. We've been able to meet, and he shared his expertise and his knowledge and thoughts about how we can make sure this committee functions well together. So it's a good place to start from when we can have those levels of understanding and really work together to make sure that before bills hit the floor and that we're doing the best things we can here in this committee. So I know we'll all do that, and I look forward to it. So before we get to the business of the day, we're going to go around and do introductions. So if you could please state your name, the district you represent, or what you're doing for this committee, your workload here, and how long you've been with the House or served in this body. So I will start. I'm Representative Liz Olson. I represent District 8A, which is half of Duluth, and I use she, her pronouns, and I am in my fourth term. And I'll go to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Leah Killian. I am the committee legislative assistant for this committee. I've been here since April, and I go by she, her pronouns.
My name is Emily Adrians, and I'm with House Fiscal, and I have been, I think this is my 13th year working with the fiscal staff.
Hello, everyone. I'm Colby Sullivan with the Nonpartisan House Research Department. This is my 18th year with the House and my 11th year staffing Ways and Means.
Hi, I'm Mike Freiberg, state representative from District 43B, which includes all or parts of Crystal, Golden Valley, Plymouth, and Robbinsdale. I use he, him pronouns. I'm in my sixth term, but this is my first term on the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm looking forward to it.
Jamie Becker Finn, in my fourth term, I represent the Roseville Shoreview area. Also, I'm the chair of the Judiciary Finance Committee, and been on Ways for a couple terms now. So happy to be here under Chair Olson.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Frank Hornstein, I represent District 61A, which includes parts of downtown Minneapolis and the uptown neighborhoods. Also, Elliott Park and Bryn Mawr in Minneapolis. And I chair the Transportation Committee, so bring that perspective here along with Representative Petersburg. I use he, him pronouns, and I am starting my 11th term.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hoden Hassan, District 62B, which is South Minneapolis. I'm not going to tell you the neighborhood. Some of you may not, like, South Minneapolis is good enough. This is my third term. I am chairing economic development. This is my second time being in the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Leon Lilly. I represent East Metro Communities. Maplewood, North St. Paul, Oakdale, and Pine Springs and Landfall. Pretty close here. I'm pretty lucky that way. I'm in just starting my 10th term with Pat Garofalo over there. And and happy to be on this committee. Been lucky enough to serve on it and enjoy it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Esther Agbaje, starting my second term. I represent House District 59B, which is downtown Minneapolis and parts of North Minneapolis. And I'm just glad to be here. So thanks.
I'm Jenny Cleavorn. I represent House District 42B, Plymouth and Medicine Lake, and I'm in my third term.
I'm Michael Howard. I represent District 51A, which includes all of Richfield and a sliver of South Minneapolis. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm beginning my third term.
Gene Pawlowski, I'm in my 37th year in the House, which I think makes me the longest-serving member in the House. I'm also the only person that's had not one but two mini-sessions of the Minnesota House of Representatives in Winona, one in 1989 in September, and the last one, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in 2019. And I would advocate that during this interim we return to mini-sessions in some area of the state. And the Ways and Means Committee had a remarkable hearing at City Hall during the last Winona mini-session.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Aisha Gomez. I am the representative for District 62A, the other side of Rep. Hassan's district in the south side of Minneapolis, and I am in my third term. And I use she, her pronouns. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kelly Moeller. I represent District 40A, Arden Hills, Moundsview, part of Shoreview, and part of New Brighton. I'm in my third term. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm chair of the Public Safety Committee, and I'm excited to be on this committee.
Hey there, Dave Pinto, representing the southwest part of St. Paul. I use he, him pronouns. I am the chair of the Children and Families Committee, and so working to get all kids off to a great start. I'm looking forward to our work together. Thanks.
Marion O'Neill, I represent 29B, which is Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake, and four townships, so I'm out in rural Minnesota, where there's a ton of snow right now, and I'm not excited to go home and plow it all. Let's see. So I'm the Republican lead on higher education, which is the third largest part of our budget, and I'm glad to be back in my sixth term.
I'm State Representative Jim Nash, District 48A. I'm in my fifth term, and I am the minority lead on state government finance, and my district is most of Carver County, or at least all the good parts.
I'm John Petersburg. I represent small town southern Minnesota of Owatonna, Waseca, and Medford. I'm in my sixth term, and I'm a minority lead in transportation.
Paul Novotny, 30B, which is Elk River, now then parts of Otsego and parts of Oak Grove. And I'm in my third term and minority lead on public safety.
Representative Peggy Scott, I represent 31B, which is parts of the city of Andover, Oak Grove, and Ham Lake, and all of the city of East Bethel and two townships. In Sandy County, I have one township, and that is Athens, and then in Anoka County, Linwood Township, and I'm the lead on the Judiciary and Civil Law Committee.
Representative Brian Farr, District 22B. In my second term, 22B consists of most all of Lee Seward County, a piece of Scott County, one township in Rice County, and a little bit of Blue Earth.
Good morning, and first of all, congratulations, Madam Chair, on your appointment. My name is Pat Garofalo. I've served, this is my 6,576th day in the Minnesota Legislature. I matched that day with Representatives Hansen, Lilly, Speaker Hortman, and Representative Liebling. So, as always, an honor to serve on this committee. Thank you.
Josh Heinzman, I represent the Brainerd Lakes area. This is my fifth term, eighth year, GOP lead, Environment Natural Resources.
Representative Cheryl Joachim, she, her. I represent Hopkins, St. Louis Park, and Edina, and it's my fifth term, and I'm chair of Education Finance.
Hi, I'm Owen Worth. I'm the committee administrator. I use he, him pronouns. This is my sixth year in the working for the House and my first year on Ways and Means.
We have some new folks who just came in from HHS, so we will.
Hi, everybody. Representative Patty Akam. I'm in my third term. I represent House District 45B, which is Minnetonka, Wayzata, Woodlands, Deep Haven, and a little bit of Shorewood. I chair the Climate and Energy Committee.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, Representative Noor.
Madam Chair, Mahmoud Noor, representing District 60B, that is Minneapolis, the neighborhood surrounding the University of Minnesota. He, him pronouns, and this is my third term. I'm the chair for Human Services Finance. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Representative Krisha, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Krisha, district is 10A, represents central part of the Minnesota
Morrison County, it's fighting me. It's Morrison, Mille Lacs, Kennebec, a little bit of Crow Wing. I think I have most of your folks, Josh. And Mille Lacs, this will be my sixth term.
And if we could have our pages introduce themselves as well, we'll start over here.
My name is Cassie Soar. I use pronouns like she and her. I'm the lead page for this committee, and I started last week. Right. My name is Sarah James. My first as a committee page. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. And we'll have Harry. Would you like to introduce yourself, too, please?
Hello, Harry Kennedy. I'm in my 13th year as GOP caucus staff.
Okay, great. Did I miss anybody? I think we got us all. All right, wonderful. Well, we are going to get down to work then. So we have our first bill up today. So Representative Gomez, if you want to take the testifiers table. So the next bill is House File 31, which is the federal tax conformity bill that we heard in taxes yesterday and is now we're ready to hear today. And so, Representative Gomez, once you're settled, would you like to move your bill, which would be you would be sending House File 31 to be re-referred to the General Register?
Yes, please, Chair Olson.
Wonderful. And you also have an amendment.
I do.
Should we do move the amendment to get it in the shape that you would like?
Yes, please.
And so you'd be moving the A1 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Wonderful. So the A1 is in front of us. And is there also a technical fix to the A1 that we should move at this point to?
There is. I would like to offer a verbal amendment if I could.
Representative Gomez, would you please share your verbal amendment to the A1?
Yes. So I would like to move that on page 2 of the A1 amendment, line 13, that we delete everything after December 31st, 2023, and also on page 2 that we delete line 14. As you can see, it's sort of a kind of a partial sentence there, so just a little technical fix.
Thank you, and I will have Mr. Sullivan repeat that too so that we all hear that correctly and if there's any clarification we need.
Madam Chair and members, Representative Gomez moves to amend the H0031A1 amendment as follows. On page 2, line 13, delete everything after December 31st, 2023. And page 2, delete line 14.
Any questions to the oral amendment? Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering if nonpartisan research, what is the substantive change of what we're doing?
Great.
Representative
Gomez.
Or I could just answer that. It's pretty easy, actually. And it's based on some conversation that we had in the Taxes Committee yesterday and a request from some of the GOP members that we – so – part of when you do tax conformity, and we haven't done it in a few years, is that it impacts previous tax years. So I think this impacts starting in 18? Yeah, so 18, 19, 20, 21. So some people will have to file amended returns to align with those changes that we hopefully will sign into law. So our original version of it allowed for a window of 6 months for those amended returns to be filed, and so we're changing it to allow those amendments to be filed until December 31st, 2023, so it just kind of gives people a few more months to get that done. And then there's like, so that's the piece that we just touched, which starts on like 212, and then the previous, if you have questions about anything before that, you're going to have to ask the experts because I don't know what any of it really means, but it's all just kind of technical stuff up until that substantive change on 212. Madam Chair.
To the oral amendment.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And no disrespect to the author, but that's why I directed my comments to the nonpartisan research. So I'd like to start there. So if I could go back and re-ask my question, could nonpartisan please give me the substantive change?
Sure. So whoever would make sense from, would it be Colby, would be Mr. Sullivan, could you please address Representative Kreisha's question?
Madam Chair and Representative Kreisha, my understanding is that the oral amendment just fixes a technical drafting error in the A1 amendment. I'm looking at my colleague, Mr. Clayman, and he can just nod or step down and confirm that that's the case.
Welcome, Mr. Clayman. If you could please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Chris Clayman. I'm with the House Research Department. I staff the tax area there. The oral amendment removes language that is just completely nonsensical. If it was engrossed into the underlying bill, it would create a half sentence, kind of a sentence to nowhere, that wouldn't make any sense on page of the underlying bill. If you want to know what it would look like if it was engrossed on page 23, line 7 of the underlying bill, you'd be adding that quoted language on line 2.13 and 2.14 of the underlying A1 or of the A1 amendment. So the language is the commissioner has 1 year from the date for filing returns in paragraph A2, and you'd just be sticking that on to the end of line 23.17 in the underlying bill, the HF, the first engrossment, House File 31. So that just wouldn't make any sense, and that's just a total drafting error for on the amendment. So it's not intended to do anything. I can testify more to the details of that if anyone would like, but that's just doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't be part of the underlying bill.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you very much for the clarification. And I think that I'm glad we're making them, and I think it just speaks to the fact that we have a bit of a hasty process here, and we're designed to slow down and get this right. And so I hope that we use this as a opportunity. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion to the oral amendment to the A1? Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the oral amendment to the A1 is adopted. So to the A1 as amended, Representative Gomez.
Well, since I, Madam Chair, since I misunderstood Representative Kreisha's question, I think I sort of explained the A1 amendment generally already. Really just changes that period of time that filers have to file the amended returns from 6 months after the bill enactment to the end of the year.
Any discussion to the A1 as amended? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I had been aware of the discussion that CPAs had concerns with the six-month time period and whether or not that was long enough and some of the other concerns. And so I had had a amendment drafted before I saw your A1, and so I appreciate that. So I won't be offering it because it's pretty much taken care of here. I had gone from 6 months to 12 months, and you've gone just about that level. The only other thing that I had added to the amendment was the ability to file electronically, and I think that's still something to consider in your bill, because I think that makes it easier for both the department as well as filers if they can do it electronically rather than having to do it paper-wise. And so I'm hoping that we can still get that corrected sometime. But at this point, I'm not offering my amendment because you've already taken care of it. But I like the bill. I think it does a lot to get deformity done early in the session. I know CPAs will like it earlier than later, so thank you for that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion to the A1 as amended? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the A1 amendment as amended is adopted. So to the bill, Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Chair Olson and committee members. So as we all know, this is the early federal tax conformity bill. My appreciation to Chair Olson for bringing us together earlier than maybe some of us had anticipated so that we can hear and move this bill forward. So just briefly, in Minnesota, we use, federal AGI as a starting point for our tax filing. We sort of align our Minnesota tax code is aligned in a lot of ways with the Internal Revenue Code. But when Congress passes changes to the Internal Revenue Code in Minnesota, we don't automatically align with them. Instead, we selectively conform to changes that make sense for the residents of our state. So since the last time we did conformity in 2019, a lot has happened at the federal government, or the federal level, actually, that impacts the Internal Revenue Code. So this bill includes provisions from seven different federal acts, including, which some of the issues that are of high interest to folks are it aligns with the tax treatment for student loans from ARPA and some of the COVID era supports, especially that were there to help the hospitality industry during the height of the pandemic, so that, you know, if you got a shuttered venue grant or loan, or you got a restaurant revitalization support, that we don't treat that, we want to not treat that as income in Minnesota. We want to that to be exempt from taxes. So those are sort of some of the things that I've heard the most about, and our fiscal staff's going to walk us through kind of some of the specifics. So yesterday, the reason to Representative Kreshaw's point, right, this is happening quickly, and you know, the reason yesterday in our tax committee, Commissioner Paul Marquardt, who's joined us, I'm not going to get tired of saying Commissioner Marquardt, he told us that if we can get these changes enacted by January 13th, the Department of Revenue will be able to implement them in time for the 2022 tax filing season, eliminating the need for future amended returns, and making kind of our tax code, one of our goals in the tax space is to make filing easy, to make it legible, to make it like not, you know, as non-confusing as possible. So this sort of aligns with those goals. Just want to say that our staff in the House has really worked diligently in this effort over the holiday season. I'm really thankful to them. They've been working really hard. They're all behind me here. And also, you know, so I just want to extend my gratitude to them and to our partners at the Department of Revenue and in the Senate, and or everybody's kind of been, and in the governor's office, we've all been kind of moving forward on this together. Representative Davids has also been a great partner on this effort, and he's a co-author on the bill. Thanks to him, we passed this unanimously out of taxes yesterday. The Senate bill also has bipartisan authorship and passed unanimously out of Senate taxes this morning. I've gotten a bunch of requests for GOP members to be added as authors, and I'm hopeful that we can get this done. It's a way to make our tax code simpler, easier for individuals and businesses in our state. And it's a good thing for us to do together, and I hope to earn your support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gomez. So we have one of our fiscal staff who is going to go over the fiscal parts. That's typically what we do here, so we're glad to have you here. So welcome to the committee, Ms. Templin. Please state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Templin, and I am with the Nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department. And for today's hearing on House File 31, I have two fiscal documents should be in your packet, a spreadsheet for House File 31 and a revenue estimate from the Minnesota Department of Revenue. And it has been requested that I provide a quick overview of the revenue estimate first before I go into the spreadsheet. So I will do that. So the revenue estimate looks like this. Just quickly, on the revenue estimate, I just want to go over a couple of areas, the background on why we have revenue estimates and how the revenue estimate is structured. The purpose of a revenue estimate is to provide fiscal estimates of proposed changes to tax laws. Within the House Fiscal Analysis Department and within the House Research Department, we are able to provide unofficial estimates for proposals. However, estimates from the Tax Research Division of the Minnesota Department of Revenue are deemed to be official revenue analysis of proposed tax laws. So House fiscal staff rely on these official revenue estimates from the Department of Revenue to track the cost of tax law proposals. So that's the background on a revenue estimate. How the revenue estimate is structured, there are four sections in a revenue estimate. There's the fund impact, the current law section. There's a section on the proposed changes to tax laws. And then there's a fourth section that discusses the revenue analysis detail. I thought I would just talk about two of those sections, the first one being the fund impact. In the revenue estimate, the fund impact shows the revenue impact of changes to tax laws relative to current law. The revenue impact reflects the estimated cost of changes to a tax proposal over a four-year budget window. It's the four-year budget window that is tracked in the MMB economic forecast, fiscal 24 to fiscal 27. In the fund impact in the revenue estimate compared to a fiscal note prepared by the LBO, the revenue estimate does not show the fiscal impact of any proposed operational changes to state agencies. In other words, there's no administrative cost in the revenue estimate. And for House File for House File 31, there are no administrative costs tracked in the tracking sheet for federal conformity. And then finally, a couple of technical notes about, you know, for reading revenue estimates. Fiscal estimates are in thousands, and positive fiscal estimates denote a provision raises revenue. Fiscal estimates that are in parentheses or negative estimates denote that the provision reduces revenue. And the fund section also shows the fund affected. And for House File 31, the general fund is the only fund that is affected. And then finally, the revenue analysis detail section in the estimate, that is an important section in that document. It describes the methodology used to calculate the estimate by the Department of Revenue. It includes detail about the data sources used for the estimate, economic assumptions, and if any adjustments have been made to the estimate, such as adjustments for calendar and fiscal year splits. So the fiscal analyst, we use these estimates, we review these estimates before or prior to a hearing to make sure they align with the kind of the intent of the bill. And I'll move away from the revenue estimate now and now move to the spreadsheet to walk through House File 31, if you're ready. Okay, if there are no questions. Okay. So the spreadsheet in the upper right-hand corner, it should say 4:01 p.m., House File 31. Like the revenue estimate, the tracking sheet shows changes, general fund tax revenue changes relative to current law. And then I think for just at a high level, I wanted to point out the total estimated general fund revenue impact of House File 31. You can see that on line 5 and line 105. Column D shows in fiscal 24-25, the estimated revenue reduction for House File 31 is $99.7 million. And in fiscal 26 and 27, as shown in column G, the estimated general fund revenue reduction is $3.170 million. The rest of the spreadsheet shows details for House File 31 and how they impact the two tax types affected, individual income tax and corporate tax. I will note that in the individual income tax section, that it affects both individual income taxpayers and sole proprietors and I just lost my train. And S corporations, thank you, and partnerships. And I think unless you want to go into additional detail line by line, I will just stop at that.
Thank you, Ms. Templin. So I think that's good for now, and we'll go to questions and see if member questions. So Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill, Representative Gomez or Chair Gomez. I am curious, and I know we don't concentrate here a lot in the House on what the other body does, but just wondering where they're at with this bill. Is the language going to line up? Where are we at with that? Thank you.
Representative Gomez.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Olson and Representative Scott. So in Tax Committee yesterday, we had like two DE amendments, an amendment to the second DE. So they heard, the Senate Tax Committee met this morning at 8:30. They heard the, do you call it the engrossed language? They heard the final language that passed out of the House Tax Committee yesterday afternoon. And as I mentioned in my opening comments, it did pass unanimously out of that committee. So I think that we will have to, what we just amended onto this, that date change and sort of a few of these technical tweaks, we will have to amend onto the language that they just passed this morning. But we're doing pretty good. We're in pretty close alignment right now. Thank you.
Representative Scott.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Gomez, thank you for bringing this bill forward. It's greatly appreciated. While I'm sure that sometime during this session we will have disagreements on some items, and I'm shocked to hear that. It is a good sign that this bill is being progressed forward. There's lots of areas where we do have agreement on items, and I'm glad to see that conformity is one of them going forward. I would also encourage DFL chairs and the Ways and Means chair, Chair Olson. There are other spending items. There's other items that I think we can reach agreement on. It doesn't mean we're going to reach agreement on everything, but I do think we have an opportunity to work together and show Minnesotans that we can govern together and make some decisions in agreement. And so I hope, Representative Gomez, that you don't lose any street cred with me praising you publicly in your caucus. no offense is intended. If I need to attack you on the House floor, just let me know and we'll take care of that. But I would encourage members to vote yes. And again, thank the DFL leadership, Chair Olson and Representative Gomez, for allowing this to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Seeing no further discussion, would you like to renew your motion that House File 31, as amended, be referred to the General Register?
Yes, please.
The motion in front of us, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails, and your bill is on its way to the General Register. So thank you, Representative Gomez. And thank you, Commissioner Marquardt, for being in attendance. Even though we didn't need you at this moment, it's always good to see you here with us. So thank you. And thank you, members, for making this work in your schedules. So we are, one thing I forgot to mention, you did get an email from Owen Worth yesterday with the committee rules. They are in your packets. We weren't going to review them because I don't think there was anything out of the ordinary there. And I did have a chance to connect with Representative Garofalo. But if there's anything you need to discuss or, reach out. So take a look at those if you haven't already. And then we will be meeting on Monday at our normal time. And we will be hearing a budget overview from MMB as well as taking up House File 35, which is the Representative Stevenson bill addressing inflation and the forecast. So with that, members, there is no further business and we are adjourned.